Monday night, the Lord gave us a message on if you're going to get more like him, you have to crucify your flesh. Then on Tuesday night, we looked at the thought about prayer. Well, we're trying, Lord. We're trying to crucify the flesh, but the problem is it gets back up in the morning. Yours like that too? Paul said, I die daily. So we thought, and God let us know, if we want to be more like Jesus, we need a prayer life because he knows how to make it happen. So we talked about prayer, being more like Jesus in prayer. And then last night, being more like Jesus in praise, by praising him. Well, he's got a message for us tonight. Turn your Bibles, please. And we'll look at the theme for the night, how to be more like Christ by having compassion. I'm telling you last night when I saw the burden in people's hearts that was up. And by the way, that's what I want to happen tonight, or what the Lord wants to happen tonight. If God gives you a burden for some individual, Miss Tammy brought a can down here and she labeled it God can. It's God's can, but God can answer your prayers. It may be about having compassion. None of us have enough. But if God moves you in that direction, you were not interrupting anything, just come during the service anytime and put a prayer request in. Be all right just to kneel and pray for it right there too as well. And I couldn't get out here last night until I came back in and everyone had left. Just come back and nail it and say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. But I need help. I still lack the compassion that you have. I've been trying to crucify my flesh, and I've been praying, and I've been praising. But he reminded me, okay, if you want to learn about compassion, look to Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. So let's look at how he had compassion, and he'll show us how to have like compassion. Scripture can be found in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, how to have compassion as Jesus did. I'm not advocating we'll ever be completely like him, but I sure want to have a reflection like him in my heart. The Bible says in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. That impressed me. He went everywhere. He didn't shun any. Still doesn't. Anyone anywhere that wants to have a manifestation of the love of God, he's available. He doesn't shun anyone. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, big and little, teaching in their synagogues. That's interesting because God showed me at least 100 times through the pages since I've been at Fletcher. If anything's worth anything, it will be centered around the house of God. That's the way you measure the worth of a thing. I've caught a lot of slack over that, but I've caught a lot of slack over a lot of things. I'm not politically correct, don't intend to be, far from it. I am biblically correct because Jesus went to the villages and he ended up in the synagogue, did he not? Why? Because that's his house. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We see from this portion of God's word, and remember, if we want to have the compassion Jesus did, then we have to be what he was. We have to have the heart he had, and we can't sit around us, therefore, no more. No, it has to be about others. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He traveled miles. Can you imagine how many miles he traveled? No doubt by walking. In the wintertime, it gets cold in that area. Sometimes it snows. In the summertime, it gets hot. In the spring, they have a lot of rain. And in the summer, they have almost no rain. I'm talking about around Jerusalem. So he was traveling at different times of year, of course, 3.5 years of his ministry. And yet, he was willing to go and not just sit down, but go and spread the gospel And if you and I want to have compassion that I want to have and we need and he wants us to have, we're going to have to get busy spreading the gospel. You say, well, I've got a job. I can't go from door to door. Well, you know what the good Lord does? He puts you right out there in the middle of society on your job. If you're in nursing, you have people coming to you. And if you're in marketing, wherever it is, by the way, God did put you where you are. And wherever he sends us during the course of a day, during the course of a week, during the course of a year, people surround us and come to us and we get to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing so, that's the first step to have compassion. You want to have compassion for someone hurting like Jesus did, then you start walking in the steps they do and you start observing how they live and you see that, boy, they're miserable without God. And you'll have compassion on them. You'll see their sicknesses. Jesus saw their sicknesses. He saw their weakness. He saw their hurts. Why? Because he was out there with them. And that's the first thing we have to do. We have to spread the gospel, number one. Number two, we have to see as we're going. You say, well, I see. No, this is a different kind of seeing. Let's read the next verse. And the next verse says, and when he saw the multitude. He saw the multitude, and the word in the Hebrew means not only with his eyes, but when he saw with his eyes, he had the compassion in his heart. His bowels of mercy was extended. That's what the Greek word means. He saw the multitude. He perceived what they, and he knew what they were going through. So when you and I are out there spreading the gospel, Lord, give us discerning hearts that we not only see their features, not only see everything about them, but we can see the depths of their depravity sometimes. Jesus saw all that. He perceived that they had needs and he perceived their weakness. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we're so busy with their own agenda, and the reason I'm familiar with it, I know like how you are because I'm just like you are, and I know that I'm so busy going down the road. I pass people meeting them, and they'll say, well, I passed you so-and-so, and you didn't wave. Well, I didn't wave because I didn't see you. Why? Because I was too busy thinking about something else. That's not good. I wish I wasn't like that. But I do admit, whether I'm a car, I don't waste time. I'm either listening to the Word of God, or I'm praying, I'm doing something, so it's hard to do two things at once. But yet, in my heart, in my mind, as I see people, I've always wanted, and I've told this before, everyone wasn't here. When I first got called to preach, I did not have the compassion that I wanted to have. And I didn't know how about getting it. I just say, Lord, help me to have compassion. I'd go to nursing homes. I'd go to hospitals. I'd see them laying there hurting. They could hardly move. And yes, as much as I could, I started feeling for those, but it wasn't as deep as it ought to be. I knew that. I'd never been sick before, hardly. And I'd never had the problems they had. And I said, Lord, show me how and help me feel the hurt. I didn't know what they were saying, but I wanted it. And he said, well, the way I'm going to do it, he told me ahead of time, I'm going to bring you down low. And in that lowness, 35 days in the hospital with peritonitis and almost dying, and my body features shutting down, my kidney and everything shutting down, and me dying also. I submit to you, when I go to hospitals today and I see them laying in any kind of shape, I don't have any problem having compassion. Why? I see them as they are. Why? Because I've been there. I understand. And Jesus was able to see the multitude. And as he saw them preaching to them, teaching in the synagogues, he saw their needs and it moved him. That word in the Greek also, the word saw in the Greek means to have compassion and to be moved with what you see. God help us to do that. Step number two, when you go spreading the gospel, and you see the wickedness, and you see the hurt, and you see good people hurting, and you see people shallow in their worship, and you see all these things, and you see the house of God not filled, and you see, and you see, and you see, it's more than with your eyes. Lord, help us to have it in their heart to say, well, isn't your house filled? Why are so many people in the world not caring, not concerned about being the last days? Why is it, Lord? What can I do to help? Let's keep reading because he'll tell us what we can do to help. We see him spreading the gospel, number one, if we want to have compassion like him. Number two, we have to see their hurts, see their needs, and want to do something about it. Well, after all this, then, of course, he's going to make a statement. And you and I, every time we see these things and we go spreading the gospel, there's something to be told. We have to make a statement in prayer and lifting them up to God. Look at the statement Jesus makes after he was spreading the gospel. The last part of verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, not only he paid attention to, that's what it means. When you see something that you know you can be a help to, you pay attention to it. And then you'll have compassion, you'll have concern. And as he was proceeding their needs, he literally saw them scattered. And they didn't have a shepherd. We preached Sunday morning about shepherd. Isn't it good that we have a shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're sheep of his pasture. And we're not just aimlessly, helplessly wandering. We're part of a fold. And the psalmist says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. We've got a good shepherd. But see, we're learning to be more like him. And so we see others that are scattered because they don't have a shepherd. And we want to help. And we want to have compassion. And as we're looking, we have to make a statement as he made the statement. We have to say, well, what am I going to do about it? I can't save them. I can encourage them. I can let them know I love them. And you don't always have to say the words. Can't you tell by looking at someone? If you're looking at someone and they're hurting, whether it's in sin, whether it's in sorrow, whether it's in grief or whatever it is, and you know and you're paying attention to it, just something about if it comes from your soul, the gleam in your eye, the look of concern says more than all the words you could think of in a year or two. And we see this, and we have to make a statement. Let's look what Jesus said about it in the next verse. Then saith he unto his disciples, oh, you know he's going to say something. He's already done his work in the villages, in the synagogues, in the places of worship. And he's already healed the sick. He's already done everything he could do. But now he wants to help those other disciples so they can have the same compassion that he's got. And this is his statement. Now, he knew all this already, but see, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's happened once we get to where we ought to be. And it seems like you get here and you slide back and you get here and you slide back. But God, help us to overcome that. Be overcomers. And now Jesus sees his disciples and he knows they're a long way from having the compassion they ought to have. They've been too much, many times, as they're walking along the trail, saying, who is the greatest? He had just got through telling about his going to Calvary. And you know what those disciples talked about? Well, we know he's preparing us for something big. And when we get there, I'm going to be greater than you. And I'm going to be greater than you. And even John and James' mother, the sons of thunder they were, even went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I know you got some good boys here in your group. But if you notice my two, I know you have. You done right by picking them, so to speak. And when you get to your kingdom, I know you've got one. It'd be well, and I've put a formal request in. I want to put one of them over on this side of you, and I want you to get that and put it on that side. You'll do well, but listen to me, Lord. He didn't listen to her. Because that's selfishness, that's greed, that's something. That's the way the disciples were. Truthfully, that's the way we get sometimes, isn't it? But notice the statement Jesus is going to make to his disciples to help them out of that shell. to help them see the needs and to be able to go out and have the compassion he has, to be out and make the statements, to go out and spread the gospel and see, and not just with your eyes, but see it with your heart and make a perception that I can make a difference. We read the other night in the book of Jude, and some making a difference. We saw that once we have a concern, he will empower us, and it's him making a difference, but he uses you, and he uses me when we can get to that place. I want to look at the statement. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now they were there with him many times as he was walking through those villages, teaching in the synagogues. And they knew as well as he did about the numbers. They saw that, but they didn't see it in their heart. And he's letting them know now the harvest, the need. It's out there growing. Those individuals who are there, they're hurting. They're desperate. They're scattered. They don't have a shepherd. And there's something about not having a shepherd. Start thinking about it now. All the people you know, and I want this, the Lord wants that to be personal. Make it personal. For you and I to just start thinking about those people you know that's in sin. No thoughts of God. Seeming low conviction in their heart. And then you can also think, your mind's got big enough to do this, think about those people that probably are saved. You don't know if they are, but they say they are. And then watching their walk and listening to their talk, if they are saved, their life doesn't reflect it. You can't go farther than that. You don't know. But you see them scattered. Now you see them, what we're supposed to do when we see them, let's adapt the Greek word he used. Perceive their wandering and their scatterings and how it would be. What if it were you out there and you were wandering and there was a great physical need, financial need, whatever kind of need in their family, and they didn't have a shepherd? Meaningly, they didn't have a church. They didn't have a pastor. They don't believe that they need a savior. And they're scattered and they're wandering. And you see that. But seeing with your eyes is not good enough. We have to have a burden in our bowels of compassion. Reach out to them. And there's prayer life. And that's the way we have compassion on them. And we have a burden for them. And now when you see them, your mind instantly goes, as Jesus is telling his disciples, the harvest is great. They don't have a shepherd. And when something, we've heard many times, what does families do when someone dies and they don't have a church, they don't have a pastor, they're not saved? Let your mind wander. There's people you know like that, folks. People I know that's like that. God wants us to have a greater compassion on them. We can't save them, but we can talk to them. We can encourage them. And we can, more importantly than anything you'll ever do to win them, is live a life before them that they see Jesus in you. They'll get more done than you could talk in a month. Just let them see that when bad things happen to you, you don't scoff, you don't argue, you don't blame somebody else. You just say, I'm just thankful things are as well with me as they are. Thank you, Lord, that you chose me. You could have chose anybody you wanted to, but you chose me to go through this valley, through this trial, because you knew that I would rely on you to bring glory to your name. And people are looking, and when they see that happen to you, you know what? They're going to find the same shepherd you do, because they know it wasn't you that did that. It has to be someone greater in you than you. And they'll start seeking. And so when he's telling his disciples, the harvest is great. Look at the harvest. And we can compare. I'm an old farmer by birth, you know, farm first 18 years of my life or so on the farm. And if you did that, if you raised a garden, you know about this, the seed of the harvest. You know it needs watering, it needs nurturing, it needs sunshine. And God provides all that. So the harvest of lost souls without a shepherd is numerous. There's more than you and I could... 10 churches like this couldn't hold them within a mile of here, perhaps. and they're scattered. They're without a shepherd. And we can't make them come, but we can have Jesus in us and be more like him, for they will desire to have what God has given us. But then notice what he says. He's making the statement. The statement's loud. It's far-reaching. The statement Jesus is making to his disciples then makes the same statement that his disciples seated here tonight and watching by internet. The harvest is great. Their souls without the shepherd, and they're dying, they're wandering, and they're headed to the devil's hell. And when you see them and when you think about it, see more than just the state they're in. Let your soul see and realize the helplessness, the hurt, the wounds, and all that they're going to suffer, and their families, and they're raising their children just like that. And then look at the second part of the statement Jesus made. He is asking, he is encouraging, but the laborers, they're few. Yeah, the harvest is great, but I've got 12 disciples here. I chose you. One of them was the devil from the beginning. And he knew that too. I didn't take him by surprise. But now those other 11, he's instilling in them, make a difference. You come across 50 people today or tomorrow, make a difference. You could be one of those laborers. You could be one of those laborers. And yeah, they outnumber you 100 to 1. It doesn't matter. I'm in you, the hope of glory. If you really want to see how they are, ask me, I'll help you see in your heart. I'll help you discern. I'll help you understand. And when you see them hurting, you'll have a burden and you'll be hurting. And if you really want that, God will give it to you. And he's encouraging. But look, his still effort is the same. Fourthly and lastly, it's all about sending laborers in the field. We wait patiently for them to come to church. We invite them. Most of them don't come, haven't come, won't come. So let's see what Jesus says about that in the next verse. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I noticed a pronoun there I want to deal with just a minute. Look carefully. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of everything. They haven't asked him to be their Lord yet, but he's still Lord of everything, which means he's in charge of everything. He is Lord of whose harvest? It's his harvest. He owns everything. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He owns the land and all the souls that's lost. They haven't asked him to be their Lord, but he stands willing, ready, and able to be their Lord. In fact, he even says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. So ask him. It's his harvest. And the only way he can do anything about his harvest is to send laborers out. So he's looking for volunteers that when he chooses you, you'll say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Isaiah did that. And when God was dealing with me to preach, I did that. You say, well, he's not dealing with me to preach. No, he's not dealing with everybody. But still, you're a disciple of Christ. You're a father, you're a mother, you're a child. And God sends each one of us out, and he wants us to be a laborer in his field. Notice it's his field. Well, notice he even said it's his laborers. Notice he even said it's his harvest. It's all about him. He is the Lord. He is the good shepherd. The statement he makes still goes and penetrates hearts today because the harvest is even greater than it's ever been. It's his harvest. The field, his field is white with the harvest. And when you know what happens to harvest, if you don't choose her and get the vegetables, whatever, they decay, they ruin, they rot. And if souls that's dying are not plucked from the jaws of Satan, they'll end up splitting hell wide open. But God is looking for laborers. He says, my laborers, to go into my fields and preach and teach and love my harvest, my souls. And God's asking us tonight to have a compassion. We're all out there. we go to different places and we see different areas and we see different people. And God lets us go and spread that gospel. And then he enables us, if we want to see as he did. See more than what you're looking at. See the need. Perceive their hurt. And perceive in your heart that you won't have a burden for them. And then he says, pray that God will send you and you and you and me. And if you can't go, you're disabled to go, come to the altar. Go to your altar at home. And as you're passing them on the road, pray every time you pass one of them. I've done that many times that somebody's on my heart and mind, and I'll go out of my way to go past their house driving so I can pray and have a concern I ought to have. They may be in the house, they may be in the backyard, but I'm concerned about it. Not nearly as concerned as he wants me to be, but I am more interested in being concerned than I've ever been because I want to have the mind of Christ that he tells me to have, the Lord of the harvest. Would you bow your head? Lord Jesus, you see us as we are tonight. None of us would argue the fact about the harvest, the number of lost souls. We wouldn't even have any disagreement about how many we see. But Father, I'm afraid we'll have to confess before you that when we see them, we don't see them as lost souls like we ought to. And I pray, Father, that you'll let us perceive and understand and have the bowels of mercy that you expect us to have every time we see and witness someone that we know is not living for you. And I pray, Father, that you will say to us, get in the harvest field, not only in your deeds, but get in there with your prayer life. Have a concern, have a burden, shed tears, whatever it takes. Go to my harvest field. You will be my laborers for my harvest. And thank you, Father, what we're doing for you. Because we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. My little part, and then God's got a big part. What would God have you to do tonight? These are very informal services. That's the way God wants it. No set agenda. Just singing, preaching, testifying, doing what he wants you to do. Remember, it's his church, you're his sheep, all in his hands. What would God have you do? Who'll be first? Mind the Lord in that.
I have tried to live like Jesus, but I have found this week I've fallen so short. I fail to praise him when I should. God has been so good to me.
Yes.
My husband died when our son was 8 years old. And God gave me assurance there in the hospital that he was going to be with me and we was going to be okay. And we have been okay because God's never failed me. I have failed him so many, many times. But God has never failed me.
Never.
And then tonight you come and preach a message that we Dorcas here have experienced all day today. If y'all know it, we do the food pantry. And you talk about having bowels of mercy, compassion. These people need it. I'll give you two quick instances that today came in. This lady has asked me several times about coming to church. I keep inviting her, telling her it's okay to wear her pants because that's a question. And every week I say, I look for you. I'm going to be there this Sunday. But today, we were inviting everybody that came in. We had us a big sign inviting everybody to the revival. And she says, what is revival? Now, folks, that's people right here around us. What is revival? We had another gentleman come in. This guy, he's a camper. He lives out here in our woods, all around us. And last week, he came in, and he was pretty well out of it. And Joanne and I had decided we had to talk to him because we can't allow that, defeating our purpose. But he came in the door, all cleaned up, all apology, full of apologies. And this is his statement to us. He said, ladies, he said, I got saved when I was 12 years old. But he said, when I was 14, I started drinking. He He's now 48 years old. And he said, it's the only life I know is to drink. And he wants our prayers. His name has been put in the bucket. God can. God can. And I just want to, I'm thankful to be part of this Dorcas class. They call us dorks, but let me tell you, you want compassion, you want workers, you find one of these ladies when you need it.
Amen.
And I'm just so
thankful
that I've been able to spend this week in church. I just can't express what it's meant to me this week.
God bless you, Joyce. Amen. Amen. Laborers in the field. And when these ladies see them, they see more than reach their hands. They're able to see their other needs. That's what God wants. Who's next? This around so everybody can see the sign. God can.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. So to, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I don't even know what I would do without his mercy and his forgiveness.
Yeah.
I thank him so much for even just thinking about me, much less saving me and letting me come to his house and work for him. And I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for Brother Roy and Gunn and David, and I think this whole church is special to me. And I want to share something with you that the Lord did for me last night. I couldn't tell you last night. It wasn't time. You know, Brother Randy was singing that song about praise. And the Lord had given me a couple of verses back there to read that I read last night. I come down here, and the Lord was moving, so I sit down on the front pew to wait for the right time to get up here. And while I was sitting there, the Lord said, just as clear as if I'm talking right now, he says, Brian, I want you to preach.
Amen. Amen.
I don't feel deserving. I don't feel worthy because I'm not worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. But he wants me to do it. I think he's been dealing with me a little while about it, but I didn't know. I hadn't said anything to nobody. I met with Brother Roy last night, and I brought Denise and the kids in there with me because they didn't know nothing about it, and I shared with them what the Lord had said. And so I accept his calling, but like I told Roy, I don't know what to do. I don't know what he has in store. So I want you to pray for me. But I appreciate you guys so much, and I wanted to share that with you. And just pray for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Love you.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God knows what he's doing. Laborers in the field. Another great laborer in the field. His field. His harvest. His labor. Would you like to be volunteered for the service of God and the capacity he wants you to be in? Not all can be preachers. He doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. That's his calling. Brother Brian's got a great father that's a preacher. He's not a preacher because his father was. He's a preacher because God called him to be a preacher. Love you, Brother Brian. Anyone else? Word, anything I put on your heart?
light coming in and couldn't get here. We were sitting there at the restroom. They was fixing to give me my cards and stuff. I looked at Brian and said, "You go first." And he told me, I said, "This ain't fair because I can't praise the Lord here in the restroom like I want to do."
Amen.
Get up and talk, and it don't bother me, but I'm petrified right now. God showed me something today. I'm pretty notorious for locking myself out of my truck, and I did it today. And as I stood on the outside of the truck, I had a spare key in my pocket. I usually put it in there to keep from doing it all the time. But God said, "Stop before you open my door. I want to show you something." He said, "Look inside the truck." He said, "You've got water. You can have your lunch in there. You have, most of the time I carry coffee, snacks, and all that." He said, "All the good things are inside that truck, but it's locked. You can't get in it." And he said, "That's the way. I don't know who this is for, but somebody needs this tonight, or I wouldn't be up here telling you." He said, "I want you to tell this tonight, church. Someone here tonight, Christ is standing on the outside of the door knocking. You have the key. All you have to do is exercise the faith he gave you. That faith is the key to open that door." And yeah, he said he would come in. And a long time ago, I got out of church, went away, and was never saved when I was young. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And I got to the point where I didn't think God could ever, I just didn't think I could get saved. And I sat down one night and read this scripture right here. It says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." And I know for a fact I'm saved, but I don't know who this is for, but someone here tonight, you have the key. All you have to do is stand up and open the door.
Amen, brother. That's good. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? Brother Randy, if you'll come sing a song, "Only Trust Him," song in "Only Trust Him." It may not be the title of it, but learn to trust Him. "Only Trust Him Now." What's the name of that song? Thank you, brother. Amen. What number is it?
330.
330. Everyone stand and sing that song.
Trust Him, only trust Him, only
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He answers prayers.
He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me.
He saved my soul.
He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He's so good to me.
I'll praise His name.
I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me.
Amen. All God's people say it.
Amen.
There's one man, the Lord, in that, than what God tells you to do.
Lord, instill in my heart, start with, it'd be three nights, and then last night was overtime. Well, tonight was overtime. So we're going to rest. I have no word from the hymn, and I don't do things without him telling me. I've tried that a lot, and they're worked out. So he has not mentioned me or even given me an idea about coming back tomorrow night. I think he wants us to rest. Next week's going to be a busy week, starting Sunday morning, Sunday night, through Thursday at least, and who knows. So tomorrow night's a good time to put in practice what we've learned this week. Crucify the flesh. Learn to pray. Praising Him. You say, well, not church. You can't praise Him. Oh, yeah, you can. All the day long. It's all about praise. Then we've learned in that a little of how to have compassion. Be good Friday and Saturday to put that in practice. Come Sunday morning, ready to have church. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming in that. All my starts clear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Bobby, if you'll come here, would, and pray with us and for us. Thanking for these times. He didn't have to do this for us. He just wanted to know that we was willing to sacrifice our time. Boy, did I get in trouble about that. And I tried to explain, and he just said, shut your mouth. I tried to explain again, and I better shut my mouth. Are you like that when you're caught red-handed doing something you ought to do by the Lord? You try to explain away. It won't work. That won't work. Just say, guilty, Lord. Forgive me. All mine's clear.
I just always knew what to do and how to act, but I didn't realize I wasn't saved. Hunter had come back from a youth meeting like y'all came back from, and he said, Mama, he said, Christian got saved. That was one of his preacher best friend's wife, and I said, Christian? I said, she's saved? She wasn't saved? You know, I was like, it just blew my mind because she's like one of the best girls I know. And about that time, the Lord said to me, you're not either. And I just thank him for that. It's a whole different feeling.
I'll try to testify and keep from choking up. I thank God for saving me. I was thinking there a while ago, he assured me that my name was written down over here in the old church. I can walk pretty close to where I was kneeled down when he answered my prayers. I got to crying and choked up, thanking him. And the devil laughed at me. I said, no, ask God. I said, the devil said this was just coincidental. He hit me with a feeling that I've never felt before or since. Very, very hard. We're not able to explain it. Then the devil jumped on me again, laughing. And I talked to the Lord. Same thing hit me again. So I ain't got no doubt that my name is written down. I love his church and your people. Continue to pray for me.
Thanks, Lord.
I don't testify much because I don't want to bring attention to myself, but I just want to thank the Lord for how he's blessed me. He's blessed me beyond measure. And I want to thank him for my family, my wife, my son. Just thank him over and over again. And I just pray that I'll walk uprightly everywhere I go.
While they're praying, because I invite the Lord back. Now, I know how it is, been there and done that, and years gone by. Where you know the Lord wants you to say something and you don't want